You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This segment is brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. From warnings to matters that affect the country, load shedding, something that we haven't really seen much of in the last couple of weeks, but when we did see a lot of it was in 2023. I'm joined on the line by Rain Adams, who's an ESG analyst at Allan Gray, to just take a look at this and the impact that load shedding has had. Good evening, Rain. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the economic impact. Obviously, load shedding being around, there were estimates that it contributed or was the reason why there was about 1.8 to almost 2% of real GDP growth lost last year. But more importantly, out of the 365 days we had in 2023, 335 of them had load shedding.
Good evening, Jimmy. Thank you for having me, and good evening to your listeners. Yes, it is interesting because right now it does feel like a thing of the past. But of course, part of what we're considering is the risk going forward. And as you mentioned, because it was so significant in 2023, the financial implications for companies was huge. So for example, just to make it more tangible, ShopRite spent 1.3 billion rand on its diesel generators during its 2023 financial year. Astral, for example, suffered its first ever loss on the back of 1.7 billion rand in load shedding expenses. So yes, there have been real costs to SA Inc. companies, and we've seen that in their derating in the market. So of course, it has been justified in that it was a real financial cost, but part of what we've also been thinking about is what does it look like going forward? And where there have been these deratings, of course, we're contrarian investors, we're looking for value opportunities. Has there been almost too negative sentiment in some cases where if load shedding alleviates, there may be opportunities to invest? And so as a result, as you mentioned, I do ESG research and have done a lot of deep dive research into the Eskom situation, down to looking at an energy availability factor per coal power plant, for example, to try and get a sense of where we are headed and, you know, what green shoots we're seeing on the horizon.
Rain, let's look at some of the consequences or the impact that this has had rather on consumers. I mean, you touched on the business side of it as well and the investment side of it, but we just as recently as yesterday, I believe, got that electricity tariff hike that would have been effective from the 1st of April, so already in place, and that's going to have a disastrous impact on consumers as well.
For sure. I mean, so that was a 13% price hike on top of an 18.5% price hike last year. So yes, consumers are absolutely feeling the effects of that. If you look recently, National Treasury commissioned a report from German group VGBE Energy in 2023 to look into Eskom, and that was published earlier in 2024. And they actually discuss how there has been more than enough maintenance budget for Eskom versus an international benchmark, which includes coal power plants from Asia, Europe, and so on. Actually, I think South Africans are seeing the consequences of mismanagement. We're seeing, for example, if you think of Medupi and Kusile, originally meant to come online in 2014, now sitting at an estimated over 470 billion rand in costs and still not both online, only forecast to be so in 2025, so over a decade later. You know, this all plays into the electricity tariff that we're seeing. If you look at the OCGT, the open cycle gas turbines that we're having to run to try and reduce load shedding, that is about, it's well over 7 rand per kilowatt hour. And just to give people a bit of context, you know, our price of electricity is around 1 rand 80 per kilowatt hour. So, of course, this is all going to impact your electricity price if you keep on operating in this manner.
Rain, you mentioned green shoots. Where do they sit? I mean, from an Eskom perspective, it's certainly difficult to try and identify them, considering we've had load shedding for north of 16 years at this point. But we've seen things like independent power producers being introduced and people and banks even going to fund alternative energy solutions for homes and all of that. What are some of the green shoots that consumers and businesses are leveraging off of at this stage?
Yes, I think you're right. For me, the private sector generation has been really impressive. And I think that has come as a result of that embedded generation cap being increased and then ultimately lifted by government, which it should have been done, in my opinion, well before it was. But of course, we've seen a big boom. So for example, about 10 gigawatts of private generation projects are now in the pipeline, of which as much as 5 gigawatts could come online by the end of 2025. Bear in mind that these are renewable energy, they're intermittent, so solar and wind, so that's not 5 gigawatts of actual capacity. You're looking at a capacity factor of about 30% of that, but still, you know, a huge benefit. And they're bringing that through either behind-the-meter projects, which is really on-site, essentially, or wheeling through the grid. So, for example, a wind project in Eastern Cape being wheeled to a company in Mpumalanga. So I think that's been a great positive. In addition, we've seen rooftop solar growing from about 2.3 gigawatts in mid-2022 to 5.5 gigawatts today. And there it's quite interesting because I actually monitor our weekly electricity demand. And you can see, in my opinion, the reduction in demand that has come through from some of these projects like rooftop solar. So in other ways, in terms of green shoots, sorry, just on Eskom's side, you know, we're seeing 6 units at Medupi and Kasile coming back online. So we had the 3 Kasile units return to service towards the end of last year. Kasile Unit 5 was synchronized to the grid in December. And we've got 2 more, 1 more Kasile and 1 more Medupi unit coming online by about mid-2024. That will also help to alleviate pressure. So together, they're about a combined 4.3 gigawatts of capacity. If you think each load shedding stage is roughly 1 gigawatt shortfall of supply versus demand, that helps pressure. And then, sorry, just last thing, I think that the unbundling of Eskom, we're really seeing progress there. And we saw the Electricity Regulation Amendment Bill was recently passed by the National Assembly, which should ultimately help contribute to a much more competitive electricity market and generation landscape in South Africa. So I think there are positive shoots. As you say, you have to look for them, but they are there.
So, Rain, are we saying that we are finally getting to a point where we can consider that load shedding could potentially be a thing of the past?
Jimmy, I'm still quite concerned about the unreliability and unpredictability of the coal power fleet. You know, they have been run very hard for well over a decade now and under-maintained, and they're old. The average or the median age of our coal power plants is 39 years old. So even Eskom themselves say that, you know, that unreliable and unpredictable feature remains, and we're running them very hard, which means that, you know, we do still run the risk that there could be major breakdowns going forward. That's my biggest concern. You know, we've seen signs of positive changes in terms of trying to bring some stability to leadership. There's other things to my mind, like corruption and crime, where we're still not seeing enough progress to bring comfort, because that's had a big impact as well. If you think of corruption in terms of coal quality, one of the biggest causes of our power plant breakdowns are boiler tube leaks, which are impacted by poor coal quality. So we need to get that in hand as well.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it, and hopefully you and I can have more positive conversations in future around how we then shift from coal-fired electricity generation to the alternatives we have in place. But we'll leave it at that for now, Rain. Thanks so much. That's Rain Adams, ESG analyst at Allan Gray, joining me to unpack whether or not we're past the darkest days of load shedding.
This segment was brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.